Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
That's right. The man, the legend. Good evening, everybody. Hope your weekend is doing spectacular. This is the Don Tony Show for Saturday night, June 11th, 2022. Much love to everyone. You know, whenever I wear this chain with a dark shirt, I feel like I just need a fanny pack and some of The Rock's good looks, and I could be Rocky Maivia 1995 all over again. You know, I tell you, right now as we speak, NWA Always Ready is going on. And, you know, this is what I mean about my concern over some wrestling promotions out there. I mean, let's be honest. Ring of Honor seized operations. And yes, until Tony Khan actually brings it back, actually tours, you're getting smoke and mirrors. Basically, those wrestlers are performing under the AEW banner, and they're just walking around with extra titles. Until we see house shows, not even necessarily TV, but until we start seeing house shows and separated rosters, basically what you're seeing is AEW Dynamite, period. But we talk about Impact Wrestling, and it is nowhere what it used to be. MLW rolling the dice, hoping to strike gold in a lawsuit with WWE. And you see some of these other promotions. New Japan trying to get their foot in the door in the United States. And I've talked about this many times. And look, I miss Mish. I'm not going to lie. But being solo on these shows now, there's no mixing up who said this and who said that. I've said since day one that Forbidden Door was announced, that Forbidden Door helps AEW, it helps New Japan, it gives some fantasy matches to some very small, a very, very tiny niche of wrestling fans. It introduces some Japanese wrestlers to the new American scene. I almost said New York scene. And, you know, that's how you start a bigger relationship. But case in point, you know, this is Brandon Thurston putting out numbers as of this week. Now, if you look at the blue line all the way on the bottom, and the last line is 50,000 viewers, look at what those ratings have been doing since Forbidden Door was announced. Does that look like momentum for New Japan Pro Wrestling on American TV? Fact of the matter is, they're struggling to get not 100, not 200, they're struggling to get 40,000 viewers. Do you see any AEW? Look, we talked about it the other day. When we had Aussie Open and the other guy, I can't remember his name. I'm not talking about, what's his face? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank right now. But Aussie Open. Fans are chanting, holy shit. And I think 95% of them in the crowd didn't even know who they were. We watched Rampage yesterday, and we were like, wow, you know, that same audience got a fantasy match. We got that six-man tag, you know, with FTR included as well. And you go back and you watch that show, that match, and the crowd was not into it other than FTR and Trent winning. You know, so I think you could have had, like I said Wednesday, and I know it pissed off a lot of people. I don't give a shit. But you could have had two hicks with nice-looking bodies show up from some bullshit wrestling federation in Houston. And if you would have put the New Japan logo on the screen, you might have had a handful of people like, wait, who are these guys? I don't remember them in New Japan. Everybody else would have been going, holy shit, holy shit. Yes, thank you, Aaron Hanare. So, you know, I mean, let's be honest. You know, Forbidden Door is going to be a spectacular pay-per-view. We're going to see American wrestlers versus Japanese wrestlers up and down the card. Yeah, unfortunately, Tony Khan's so deeply emotionally attached to it. You know, we're in crowning a new interim champion, and two of the four participants that are in this tournament are coming from New Japan. Explain that logic to me. No one will ever do that because they all want to be part of the new kids club, cool kids club. Now, what does this have to do with NWA Always Ready tonight? The pay-per-view, the live event is going on right now as I'm recording this show. And this is what the audience looks like. That is 2 to 3 rows worth of seats going on each side of the ring. And if anyone out there is like, oh, DT, this person took the picture right next to the guardrails, well, there you go. That is right up against the wall. That is what NWA Always Ready drew tonight. Wrestling fans were not ready for NWA Always Ready. And that is a shame because NWA's card from top to bottom is solid tonight. They are solid tonight. Someone asked me during the watch party yesterday, DT, if you had a choice to spend your money, NWA Always Ready or Impact Wrestling Slammiversary? And I said, NWA Always Ready. If you're looking for just one night, good wrestling, some familiar faces, and not real deep storyline driven, NWA Always Ready. Absolutely. Look at that. Look at that. Look at New Japan's numbers. Look at Ring of Honor before it closed its doors. You know, you had, what, 100 people, 200 people? Even WrestleMania weekend with Tony Khan under the banner, with the possibility of anybody in Dynamite, AEW, showing up, and it still drew not the numbers that people expected. This goes to show you that it's not about the individual wrestlers. It's about where they're working. And I brought this up many times over the last couple of months. Impact Wrestling this week, they did 121,000 viewers. They've been averaging about $110. Now you got the Briscoes. You go online, and I'm sorry for being a broken record, but you go online, you think the Briscoes is like the hottest free agents in the world. That everybody wants the Briscoes. Oh, we got to have them in AEW. My God, the Briscoes. I missed them. They're not doing Ring of Honor. I missed them. Well, they're on fucking TV every week for Impact Wrestling. They can't draw numbers. They're right on your TV. You look at some of the other members. Jay White. Oh, my God. Jay White. Ah! He's on every week on Impact Wrestling. Draws flies. Seriously. He could have a mound of shit in the middle of the ring. And you'd have more flies than fans. I mean, this just goes to show you. I mean, props to NWA for continuing to try. Props to Impact Wrestling for continuing to try. Even MLW. But you tell me, what is possibly out there that is going to turn it around for these wrestlers? Who? I saw a clip, Bret Hart, FTR. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's like two rows of fans. So at the end of the day, it's about money, making money, drawing people. And every promotion you look at, for the most part in the United States, that's not AEW or WWE. Fans are just not doing it. And you see the people online. It's very easy to tweet it. You get 5,000 likes. If you support, you got to buy their shirts, buy this, support that. We can't just have the Vince McMahon taking over everything. So you got to support your love. Very easy to tell others to do that. But you never see them donning the shirts themselves. You never see the screenshot of the paid receipt. Yet StarCast 5, everybody's got to tell everybody online, I bought a ticket to see Ric Flair. I bought a ticket to see the Hardys. I bought a ticket to see the Four Horsemen interview. I bought a ticket to see Kevin Nash being interviewed by Sean whatever. I bought a ticket. What do you want, a hand job? You think these people give a shit? They'll hit the like button. Hey, bro, thank you very much. And look, I'm not beating around the bush. Conrad is very appreciative. He's a businessman. He wants everyone to have feel like their money has been well spent. But you see the people online, if they were truly supporting the way they do, they 90% would plaster it all over the screen for acknowledgement. Acknowledge me, acknowledge me. So I feel bad for NWA tonight. That is an awful turnout. I think, what are they in Tennessee? I don't know exactly where they are tonight, but what an awful turnout. No excuse for that. No excuse for that. All right. Tonight, we have some wrestling news to get into. We have some discussions. Obviously, if you saw the thumbnail for tonight, journalistic kayfabe, why report the actual story when you could be part of the story? Yeah, we will talk about that a little bit later because people are starting to see it. And I'll be honest with you. If you grew up with the wrestling magazines, for me, it was the 70s, late 70s. Yes, I bought back issues, but you go to 70s and the 80s. Are the news journalists today just doing what the wrestling magazines were at that time? I don't know. We will definitely touch on that a little bit later. But there's a lot of deception online, and you could see that. I mean, I could start reading articles for the next 30 minutes. Your head will explode. Because you see people talking on both sides of their mouth. Oh, big update on MJF and the contract situation. The big update is that Tony Khan doesn't talk business with others, and neither does MJF. Remember the weekend of Double or Nothing, that MJF booking a flight was a shoot. It was a shoot. Now it's a work. And now everything we see on TV is a work that was originally a shoot. Do you feel like you have gotten accurate news on this whole MJF situation? Do you feel that this is a story that should be swept under the rug? Tony Khan, I don't want to talk about it. No time delay on the TV network with the censors when you put the guy out there who talks vulgar and is what he is? Do you feel like people have been telling you the truth? We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, as far as like question Q&A and everything, tomorrow night, 8:05, we have to sit down. It returns after a 2-week hiatus due to pay-per-views. So tomorrow, the phone lines will be open. I have everything set up already. Live chat will be going. So tomorrow night, everything on the show is Q&A. So you can start getting your questions ready. We'll get into that tomorrow. Now, as most of you are already aware, as of this week, I am now on Pro Wrestling TV. And I want to thank them for giving me this opportunity. And I plan on not disappointing. Now, you will see the shows tweaked a little bit here, where we will have more discussions rather than just sitting here and getting into match results and reviews and, oh, this person did a tope suicida. You know, 3 days from now, nobody cares. Nobody cares that Xia Li beat Natalya 5 weeks ago on SmackDown. But we will talk a little bit more as far as where Lacey Evans goes from here. We'll talk a little bit further about some others. Now, right off the bat, Cody Rhodes, he had successful surgery this week. As we told you last Monday, and you knew this already, this is common sense, there was never any possibility that he could have performed at Money in the Bank. You know, you got to understand, what you see on TV is WWE trying to pull you in. So when Cody cuts the promo, you know, looking up at the briefcase, that's just storyline. And as we said we said it Sunday night as well, Cody is going to probably get attacked by Seth Rollins, and Seth's destruction of Cody will ruin Cody's opportunities of trying to come back sooner than later. Now, something else I want to share with you right now. WWE is saying that Cody Rhodes will be out 9 months. July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, WrestleMania. It ain't going to be 9 months, everyone. Royal Rumble. That is, if you ask me, that is where I expect Cody Rhodes to return. Cody Rhodes will need 4 to 6 months minimum before he could even intensify serious weight training. So you're talking about 6-7 months, without a doubt. So, but the 9 months, okay, this is a really bad analogy, but you'll see what I mean with this. I teach defensive driver classes. I actually do. And in New York, you take a defensive driver class, you get 10% off your car insurance, and you also get 4 points taken off of your violations for speed, you know, moving violations. And the discount is good for 3 years. Now, when we teach the class and people say to me, hey, DT, well, they don't call me DT in the office, but Anthony, when will I get my certificate? And I always tell them you'll get it 4 to 6 weeks. And the reason why I tell them 4 to 6 weeks, even though I know it's only 2 to 3 weeks, is because if I tell them 2 to 3 weeks, in 2 weeks, they'll be calling me up. Where's my certificate? Where's my certificate? Where's my certificate? But if I tell them 4 to 6 weeks, there's no reason for them to call me after 2. If they did call me after 2, I say, no, I told you 4 weeks. What are you calling me early for? Get the fuck out of here. So WWE telling you 9 months, they're telling you that. So when December comes around, oh no, Cody, he's out till March, till WrestleMania. You got to get that thought out of your head. So when he comes back earlier, it's almost like a Super Cena once again. And he's going to compete in the Royal Rumble. So this way, it's unexpected. It's a surprise. It's Cody trying to get back sooner than later. And now I honestly think Cody Rhodes is definitely the favorite to win the Royal Rumble. Look at what they want to do with Cody upon his return. The ultimate is WWE Championship. The only problem with this, and we will keep repeating it, there is a certain individual out there that kind of puts a monkey wrench in all of this. And that is The Rock. Because everybody and their mother believes that we will get The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. If Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble, who's he going to challenge for the title? Could Seth Rollins somehow be heavyweight champion by WrestleMania? It's got to be a heel, you would think. Drew McIntyre, a lot of people feel, is getting one of those belts. So the question is, do we get Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns? I'm not so sure anymore, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. We wish Cody, obviously, a speedy recovery. As we talked about Wednesday, and yes, we are back on Wednesdays. No more Thursday for now. Thursday is now I spend it with my family, and Thursdays is back to Wednesday. So, but as we said on Wednesday, CM Punk's surgery was a success. They're only expecting him to be out 2 to maybe 3 months, and 2 months will fly by. CM Punk, expect him to show up on TV in a couple of weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. Then he'll probably do some guest commentary so you'll feel like he's still around. Look at Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns next week is going to be taking on Riddle. Now, remember that thumbnail I showed you about 4 or 5 weeks ago? You know, Cody is the only exception to the rule because of injury. But you remember that banner, Riddle, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes, the 5 opponents that WWE was lining up for Roman Reigns. So when Roman Reigns finally drops those titles, there is no question that Roman Reigns had one of the greatest championship runs in recent history. You remember that thumbnail? You see it all starting to be developed now. Riddle, next week. People think Randy Orton, SummerSlam, Drew McIntyre, Clash at the Castle, Bobby Lashley is going to be brought into this in some capacity. You know that. So, you know, we were ahead of the pulse a long time ago, and it's starting to develop now. But look at Roman Reigns. When was the last time Roman Reigns defended those titles? Oh, that's right. He didn't defend those titles yet. He only had one title the last time he defended any championship. That was the unification match at WrestleMania. So you see how quick 2 months could go by? So CM Punk will be back sooner than you think. Someone else that might be back sooner than you think. Now, we've talked about this as well. And now I could tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that Sasha Banks and Naomi, maybe just Naomi, could be just one, might be both, but the 30 days is up this week. And WWE, as we speak, they are now considering lifting those suspensions. And I guarantee you, if those suspensions get lifted, the silence will be lifted as well. Naomi has not said a damn thing. Sasha Banks has not said a damn thing. I guarantee you, if their suspensions are being lifted, that doesn't mean they're coming back to TV the same week, but if their suspensions are being lifted, you will start to see social media posts. You'll start to see little subliminal comments here and there. So this week, and we talked about this for the last 2 weeks. No one else has talked about this. But this week, some people will figure it out. And then you'll start to see them say, oh yeah, exclusive. You know, WWE considering to lift their suspensions. So SoFly is saying Naomi just posted something today. There you go. There you go. This week, it's right around the 30-day mark. You're going to see that. You know, they kept it in silence for the whole month, didn't say a damn thing. You'll see little things coming back. We got some other big news. I know she has not competed in the ring in a very long time. And look, when you're young like Paige, especially with the supporters that she has, you don't want to put the final nail in that coffin. We have no idea if Paige could return to the ring. Paige is not going to tell everyone, hey, I'm never going to be able to return to the ring. You always keep hope. You always keep hope. If fucking Ric Flair could return to the ring for one match, if Steve Austin could return with as bad of shape his neck was in, trust me, if something can happen with Paige, it will. But let's not forget, everyone, Paige's neck, she does have issues, serious issues. You could play fantasy all day long. You could talk about, oh my God, Britt Baker and Athena and Serena Deeb. Please, no Marina Shafir. I tried, everyone. I tried. Even on Wednesday, I just downplayed it and I said, Thunder Rosa beat Marina Shafir. I went back and I watched that match again. That's one of the worst matches that I have ever seen on national TV as far as women's wrestling goes. I wouldn't put it on the level of the Jackie Gayton match, and I'll never forget that match. And I've talked about this many times over the years. When Jackie Gayton had that match, it was the tag team match with, I think Trish was in it as well. Was Trish in it? Daphne calls me up. She's like, they fucking let me go for this. I mean, I'll never forget that. Marina Shafir, she tries, man. But you are now starting to see why WWE let her go. I mean, with all due respect, we saw recently Killian Dane. And yes, he did next to nothing against Wardlow. But I looked at him and I'm like, this guy was a WWE superstar? Johnny Nitro, Johnny Elite, Johnny Thunder, John Morrison. That guy, if you ever watch his social media, even if he's not wrestling, he does these obstacle courses where he like runs through trees and jumps off of buildings and like grabs onto vines It looks like the old video game Jungle Hunt, and he swims in the ocean, and he's hopping on the heads of alligators, and he's doing 360s and 450s and 680s. And then he does all this, and it's like, oh, my God, this guy is incredible. And then he goes and has two matches on AEW TV. And for the most part, they're disappointments. You see the sloppiness. And we've seen it over and over and over again with some people. Now, with some others, like Kyle O'Reilly and others, you know, they obviously are invigorated. And Kyle O'Reilly did not want to wrestle the stars of tomorrow in NXT. He wanted to wrestle the stars of today. He's still a very young guy. Why should he be wasted to take on, you know, people that are just learning the business now? So I get why some people leave WWE. But now you're starting to see, you know, I mean, Maria Shafir. Oh, my God. That was fucking awful. But let's be honest with Paige. She shows up. We've had Ruby Soho show up. You've had Toni Storm show up. You have Athena show up. You've had so many women wrestlers show up in the last 3 years. Other than Britt Baker and Jade Cargill, does it really feel like anybody gets equal time as the men? Like, when you watch the graphic at the beginning of Dynamite or the beginning of Rampage, does it really feel, other than those two women, that they get the same amount of time in the ring? We talked about it yesterday in the watch party. We had yesterday Chris Statlander taking on Red Velvet. It was a good match. But we knew that Chris Statlander was going to win it. She's got the momentum right now. It sucks because Stokely is now a manager for two matches, and both times they lost. But that match yesterday should have been 2 or 3 minutes and done. But because Tony Khan, there's this guilt, oh, we can't make Red Velvet look like a jobber. We can't have Chris Statlander dominate too much. The match yesterday was going on, and we said, okay, here's where Red Velvet gets the offense, and then we go to a commercial break, and the match is 4 minutes longer than it should have been. And that always happens. That's the formula. You see wrestlers, even the male wrestlers on Dynamite many times, unless it's Wardlow, or unless it's Lance Archer against Scrubs, or Satnam Singh against Scrubs. Sometimes someone needs to dominate and dominate big. But instead, oh, you know, we got to go pitcher in pitcher. And then everybody's got to have a 7-minute match. No one really stands out. So you got to put Paige in there. Suddenly Paige is going to be Superwoman, that she could wrestle even every 2 or 3. What are people smoking? It's all about clickbait, everybody. For those that don't know why I'm talking about this with Paige, Paige is leaving WWE. It is 100% confirmed. She confirmed it herself. July 7th is her last day in WWE. I have her statement here. I put it on the screen, and I will read it for my audio-only friends out there. She writes, Paige here, July 7th will be the last day with WWE. I'm so thankful, and I appreciate the opportunities the company has given me. I will always be appreciative of the company that took in an 18-year-old British pale emo girl that didn't look like your average diva, giving me the chance of a lifetime and making me feel like a superstar. I know after my neck injury, taking me out of in-ring status, it was pretty hard to keep me around for as long as you did, and for that, I am thankful too. Thank you to the WWE Universe. You guys are the most passionate group of fans I've ever seen. Hope you continue to stay on this journey with me. I think the toughest part, weirdly enough, is having to let the Paige name go. But Soraya is a hell of a name. Kudos to my mom for that one. FYI, I'm not saying I'll never be in the ring. That day will most certainly come again, wherever that return may be. So she is officially gone. No one last match, she's gone. She hasn't been on TV in over 800 days. That's it. It's official as of July 7th. But again, anybody that is starting to push the AEW narrative, that's clickbait stuff, everybody. She's not. There's no miracle drug out there that suddenly she's going to be able to have matches again. If that was the case, you don't think she would have done it within WWE? For what? You don't think WWE would have capitalized that somehow? So would Paige be good in AEW? What, as a GM role, commissioner role? Remember, you know, that was Cody more than anything, that they didn't want to have any wrestlers in that role. But other than a role like that, what is she going to do? Seriously, what do you think she could possibly do? So I wish Paige well. I hope that she can return to the wrestling ring again. Maybe it turns into an Edge situation. You know, unfortunately, I don't know if 7 years from now, you know, Paige would have the shelf life that Edge still has. And I'm not saying it's going to be 7 years, but maybe it turns into a situation where if she can come back, my guess is, unless WWE does not want her back, she goes back to WWE. And if she wants to come back and she's cleared to compete and WWE doesn't want her back, then yeah, I could see her in AEW. But anyone out there that thinks that anything is going to happen anytime soon is either just ignorant, naive, or they're intentionally just using her to try to get you to read views. So I wish her well. I wish her well. So can't say I'm going to miss her because, you know, I've missed her for a long time. But she hasn't been on TV in a very, very long time. I wish AEW would do GM roles. I really do. I think she would do good for the women's division. I think just seeing her face, I think would put a lot of smiles on people's faces. Maybe they change their mind. You know, if AEW did a GM role, women, men, both, I can't see how AEW fans would be like, no, that's a WWE idea. It's stupid. I think people would rather see Paige in wrestling, even if it's a non-wrestling capacity, in-ring capacity, than to see her out of wrestling entirely. Maybe she does podcasting related to AEW. That's always a possibility. Maybe she does something broadcasting, you know? She's got the charisma, so that's a possibility. But the idea of her returning to the ring and doing all these fantasy matches, yeah, maybe the video game, maybe a creator wrestler. But as far as actual matches, ain't happening. Merrick, DT, I really respect you. You say what's on your mind. You call out the IWCs, but you never call out Dave. What are you talking about? Guy clearly has an agenda against WWE and he's fooling his subscribers by line. I've said this a trillion times over the years. I respect Dave Meltzer. I will always subscribe to his newsletter. He was very, very generous with me with the Conan drive and when Chris Candido passed away. And I say it all the time. He is very biased to AEW. He loves Japanese wrestling. He rates Japanese wrestling at a very, very high score, and that is his right. He is a wrestling fan first and foremost. Nobody forces anybody to read his news. Nobody forces anybody to buy his newsletter. Nobody is forced to pay attention to what he says. I think a lot of people that can't stand Dave Meltzer pay attention to him because they want a reason to say why they can't stand Dave Meltzer. I disagree with all his match ratings most of the time. He gives, you know, some of the AEW match ratings, 5 stars, and you look at some of the most legendary matches over the years, and he's given 3, 4 stars. That's his right. It's his opinion. It's not gospel. See, I could be respectful and disagree with Dave Meltzer. I've disagreed with a lot of what Dave Meltzer. I just said it at least 5 times in the last 2 weeks. Dave Meltzer, sorry everyone, it's a broken record. Dave Meltzer went on Denise Salcedo's podcast the weekend of WrestleMania 2 days before and said, you know, people close to Cody are saying it's not a guarantee Cody's going to be at WrestleMania. And I said last week, the MJF, oh, you know, there's no guarantee, there's a flight booked. They did the exact same thing with MJF that they did with Cody Rhodes. I've been saying this. It's just that people hear, but they don't listen. I respect Dave Meltzer to the fullest. But Dave Meltzer has been doing this for decades and decades and decades. And Dave Meltzer, because of his position of power, and yes, that could be dangerous at times, but because of that, and I guess we could sort of segue with this, you know, journalistic kayfabe. Why report the actual story when you could be part of the story? I mean, think about what you have seen go down in the news world with MJF the last couple of weeks. I've said it since day one. You ask any of you out there, contact Cornette, contact any wrestler that does a Q&A. Everybody does Q&As, most of these wrestlers. They do it on social media. Ask them, say, is it proper etiquette to know what another wrestler's business is with a promotion, what their contract is, what their numbers are? Is it anybody's business? You will have 99.9% of the time wrestlers tell you that it's none of my fucking business what that person's deal is with that owner. You worry about your own shit. And you're reading these articles the last couple of weeks that wrestlers in the company feel disrespected, that Tony would never work the boys. How is Tony working the boys? Do you think wrestlers go in the back and say, hey, Tony, come on, be honest. MJF, you know, it's a work, right? It's all right. How come none of these wrestlers, Naomi and Sasha, walk out? Oh, you got to support them. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to. MJF walks out and his own fellow workers are not all over social media. The fuck do you miss the fan fest? How disrespectful is that? Nobody speaks out. Oh, Jake the Snake Roberts did. Nobody says a damn thing about it. And no journalists question that. Tony Khan, I don't want to talk about it. They'll certainly talk about the situation with Naomi and Sasha if asked about it. And all the journalists let it go. Why? Because they know it's a storyline. Instead of, now you see what's happening. Now people are starting to figure out this is a storyline. 3 weeks ago, Tony and MJF had this huge fight in April. And wrestlers in the back feel that they could sympathize with this and this and that. And then the weekend of Double or Nothing, MJF no-shows. Fightful reported it was a shoot. It was a shoot. He no-showed. Of course he didn't show. That's a fact. He didn't show. Did they ever tell you that this was planned with AEW? No, they never came out and said that. Did any other site? When the flight was booked, who came up there that night? I was live on this show, and people that were live with me were trying to convince me during that show, you know, look, MJF no-showed tonight. What's your thoughts? And I said, does anybody pay attention to the MJF character? If MJF walked out and booked a plane and used that type of teasing with, like, Jeff Jarrett not wanting to wrestle China and dropping the belt to China and pulling that kind of leverage the day before, you think Tony Khan is going to sit there and let him get stepped on and shitted on? What kind of message does that send to the entire roster? So people report, it's a shoot, it's a shoot. Will he show? Will he show? It's a shoot. And all this was doing was getting more attention on AEW, more eyes on AEW. What's going to happen? Is he going to show? What are they going to do with Wardlow? Will Tony Khan have to go out there and pull a Vince Russo a la Jeff Jarrett laying down for Hulk Hogan, you know, back in the day? I mean, people actually go on Twitter that night, actually screenshotted Vince Russo from that night with his head leaning against the ropes, wearing his Barry Bonds jersey when he ripped the shit out of Hulk Hogan. That piece of shit. All they did was go along with the story. And they also used you to get you to click on their sites. How many people put banners? MJF quit. MJF walked out. Based on what? Based on what? You look at these articles closely. They make no sense whatsoever. But now, because we're 2 weeks later, people are starting to figure it out. Now, all of a sudden, it was a shoot before it became a work. or if it was a work before, if it was a shoot before, it certainly is a work now. People are trying to cover their ass because they don't want to piss off their readers. They don't want to piss off their viewers. They don't want to piss off their listeners. And the thing is that, you know, these people are using everyone out there. And guess what? It is very tempting to have a billionaire owner who is a hardcore wrestling fan. Understand, Tony Khan is not 75 years old. Tony Khan is younger and tries to be one of the boys, hangs out with some wrestlers, mingles online. You see old pictures of him in the crowded Ring of Honor events. It is, you people out there have a much greater chance of rubbing elbows with Tony Khan than anything else. You don't think that these sites and these shows to get maybe a little rub? You look at the interviews that Tony Khan keeps coming back on and nobody presses him about the MJ. I don't want to talk about it. Is it true that the network told AEW to pull MJF? I don't want to talk about it. Do they even ask the question? No, they don't. Now you see some websites. Do a search. Just type MJF news in Google and then click the news menu. You will see some people say, WarnerMedia and Discovery gave an edict. Remember that word last week? Edict. WarnerMedia and Discovery gave an edict to AEW to remove MJF from all advertising and banners. Now you see websites saying AEW gave the edict to WarnerMedia and Discovery to remove MJF from all their programming. They can't figure out which one makes more sense because people realized, why would WarnerMedia and Discovery do that? I think WarnerMedia and Discovery gives a shit that MJF called Tony Khan a mark. Tony Khan grew up in the era of Ring of Honor and ECW. I called MJF Brian Pillman 9 months ago. Brian Pillman was calling wrestling fans marks in 1996. A lot of us, I've said it too, I'm a mark. Most of us are marks. Marks is not always a negative word. Oh my God, he called Tony Khan a fucking mark. How could Tony allow that? Tony was probably grinning ear to ear when MJF did that. And I will always say this. That's why you notice no one, how come nobody brings this up? With MJF, in the history of his vulgarity, and calling Melanie Pillman a crack whore and all this other stuff that AEW obviously allowed, you know, AEW is not this, you know, altar boy in the woods. They're not priests and nuns. You know, because it's entertainment during those 2 hours, oh, this is not real life. So when he calls people in the audience a fat pig, that's just a heel being a heel. If you really pay close attention, AEW gets raunchier than WWE because it's PG TV 14. It's not PG TV. That's why I never compare AEW program with WWE. You look at the corner, it's TV 14 for a reason. They're more adult oriented. I don't complain. I have no problem with that. But again, you know what MJF has done. You know what he says. This is coming off Double or Nothing a couple of days before. You mean to tell me if WarnerMedia and Discovery were that nervous about MJF, if Tony Khan was that nervous about MJF, why was there no delay on TV? So if he starts getting really vulgar and starts saying some outlandish things, that they don't hit the censor button. They just cut his mic off after he says a ton of shit. You know, it's not, this isn't hard to figure out. I'm no genius here. But if you notice all of the sites that people flock to, this is an opportunity that, hey, if I play both sides of the coin, I'm helping this storyline. I'm helping AEW get this further. People don't know where the line, it's blurred the line. Look at Matt Hardy. Look at Matt Hardy. I printed up some stuff this week and we'll start moving on because I think you get the point now. Matt Hardy was on a show called Drinks with Johnny. I want you to pay close attention to this. Shout out to Wrestling Inc., I believe, that did the transcript. I want you to hear this closely. Pay attention to what Matt Hardy is saying, because Matt Hardy's basically telling you what's going on. This has to do with Bryan Danielson. They asked him about the blurred lines in wrestling. And this led to the conversation about Bryan Danielson's leg getting caught between the ramp and the ring. Remember that night? And, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Matt Hardy, listen very closely. Matt Hardy said that Bryan Danielson is a master at making people believe. I feel like it was good for Rampage. There was a thing where Bryan Danielson had his leg stuck between the ramp and the ring, and people were freaking out. And I got some people that texted me like, oh my God, is Bryan Danielson all right? I was like, what? You know, I saw a video on the internet where people that were at the show were like, oh my God, Bryan Danielson fell and his leg got trapped and they couldn't get him out. And he was there for like 15 minutes. And I hope they're not going to have to take off his leg or whatever. He says, but like, it's one of those things where literally his leg slid in and he just worked it while all this was going on. And people, it's as real as he makes them believe it is. He is the master of doing that. That's the new kayfabe. Manipulating information that people really cannot be sure of the validity. That's the new kayfabe. That last sentence from what Matt Hardy spells out what you are reading on all of these sites that charge you money, that, you know, try to get you to subscribe to their podcast, their newsletter, whatever it is. Now, I'm not bashing it. Hear me out. Let me finish. But as Matt Hardy said, let me repeat that last sentence. Manipulating information, not reporting it, manipulating information that people really cannot be sure of the validity is the new kayfabe. So now I ask you this question. Fightful, Observer, Torch, PW Spyware, and others. I'm not throwing shade. Sportskeeda, I ask you all this. Are they taking a page out of what the old wrestling magazines used to do in the 70s and the 80s? The 60s, but none of us were alive at that time, probably. Are they just doing what wrestling magazines used to do? We used to, as kids, teenagers, would buy wrestling magazines. Bill Apter and everybody else would write all this shit in the magazines, and you thought everything that they were saying was true, and the interviews and everything, and you find out years later that a good part of it was just fabrication. They just made it up in their mind. Getting storylines over, getting characters more over. So are these sites and journalists, I'm not saying that's all they do. Let me make this clear. Every single site that I just brought up do work their ass off getting actual news. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that they are lying to you about everything. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, besides reporting the news, do you think that, hey, I can help AEW get this storyline over that much more? Instead of me saying that, you know, this is a work. Because you see what happened now. In the last couple of days, oh, MJF's camp bought the plane ticket. MJF's camp canceled the plane ticket. Okay. You want to buy a plane ticket. Either you could buy it, or maybe your employer could buy it. That's it. Who the fuck could it else be? Back then, we don't know who bought the ticket. Now, because people are starting to figure it out, this is a storyline. Oh, MJF's camp bought the ticket. That weekend, MJF walking out was a shoot. MJF was leaving. Now, all of a sudden, oh, no, this is an elaborate. So these guys, obviously, and one thing they all have in common, let's be honest here. I think we could all agree on this. Does WWE rub elbows with anybody online? Does WWE really give back? You think that there's all these moles in WWE that give all this information to these websites? How come they can't find out tiny little things? But for some reason, everybody knows about a particular topic. But for everything else, there's not a thing that could be said whatsoever. You think WWE truly does that? WWE doesn't do that with anybody. But AEW, okay, you know, this person goes along with the storyline. You know, I'll give him a little bit something back. I'll give him a little scoop. Give him a little bit of attention. Get a little press. Maybe give him a little opportunity here and there. And that's what I think a lot of these people are gunning for. These people are gunning for an opportunity. And if they can be part of the storyline, 10, 20, 30 years from now, they could say, oh, yeah, you remember when MJF did this and that? Yeah, you know, we went along with it. And we reported this and we did. As Matt Hardy said, manipulating information so you don't know where the line is the new kayfabe. This is what's going on. So when you read a lot of what you read, understand that a lot of it is agenda-based. That's why with the WWE stuff, you know, I saw something hilarious yesterday. I saw something hilarious. Gunther. We've been talking about Gunther for a while now. And if you paid attention to SmackDown, Gunther was dominating everyone. Last week, they announced Gunther was taking on Ricochet for this title. Now, a lot of us didn't think that Gunther was going to win the belt yesterday, not because we didn't think Gunther was ready, but last week, WWE did this giant vignette online about Ricochet and having the title. I don't know if you all saw that, but it was on social media, and it was very well produced. And this was done last week, and I'm like, why would you fucking do this? And then a week later, the title is dropped. Was this a going away thank you gift? You go back, if you haven't seen it yet, you got to go see it. But we've all noticed how Gunther is dominating everyone. So he gets the title shot, and reports come out in the last couple of days. Oh, our sources tell us that WWE is very happy with Gunther. Well, what the fuck have we seen on TV? If you see someone getting a winning streak on TV and dominating, oh, our sources tell us that WWE is very, very satisfied with Riddle. WWE is very, very satisfied with the Usos. Well, that might be a little extreme, but WWE is very, very satisfied with blah, 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 blah. Oh, Madcap Moss. WWE. You see someone getting jobbed out. WWE is not that excited about the Viking Raiders. WWE is not as high on the Los Lotharios as they did before. WWE is recently considering dropping the Kiss Cam. WWE. You got to do is just watch TV and figure it out. So what happened yesterday on SmackDown? My man, Gunther, gets the title. Ludwig Kaiser. I love that motherfucker's look. He's got that look that you just want to slam him in the face. I freaking love what they're doing. I remember when they changed his name. And Walter with the most beautiful comment of them all. If I was called Gunther all this time, and now they changed my name to Walter, everybody would be pissed off. I said from day one, call him Gunther, call him Snoopy, call him whatever you want. As long as he's being utilized the right way on TV, that's all I care about. That is all I care about. And he got the title. But I ask you this. Remember when we used to call Ricochet? Anybody remember the nickname I used to call Ricochet? Anybody remember? They used to say WWE's treating Ricochet like Ricochet. I look back at his IC title reign. I'm not that thrilled about it. I think Gunther now will bring big time prestige and legitimacy to this title. Yes, this title has not been defended since WrestleMania of last year. Big fucking deal. Gunther's got this title now. But I look back at Ricochet's run. It's nice. I don't think anybody will remember it a year from now. I don't know where you go with Ricochet from here. But Gunther won the title yesterday. Extremely ecstatic. By the way, Lacey Evans. What happened, everyone? What happened? Oh, she's going to SmackDown to heel. Everybody said, oh, no, WWE scrapped the whole USA thing. Heel. Who was the only person that told you the entire time, don't believe it. They postponed anything without a heel because we're coming up to the 4th of July. We're talking about the troops. She comes out there, they chant USA, USA, USA. She's going to be the female Sergeant Slaughter for the foreseeable future. Yes, down the line, they will turn her. No question. They will turn her. But all along, you know, people are like, oh, no, they're turning her now. Remember people doing these podcasts? Oh, how fucking ridiculously stupid. Now you're turning her heel and you just threw away all these vignettes. You see that happen on TV? No. Sooner or later. Oh, see, I was right. See, I told you Don Tony was going to die. Hopefully that's not for another 40 years. But, you know, just because you say it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Lacey Evans yesterday beat Xia Li on SmackDown. Qualifies for Money in the Bank. Be a little concerned about Xia Li. They think that she might have suffered a leg injury yesterday. But Lacey Evans going into the 4th of July. You know, United States, more than anything, because, you know, WWE is a U.S. company. They tour overseas. But with COVID the last couple of years, with inflation the way it is, with a lot of civil unrest the way it is, I know it's very, very minuscule, but we're leading into 4th of July, and more than ever, you know, you want people to still feel proud to be part of this country. There's no reason to turn Lacey Evans heel right now, and you're seeing it in front of your eyes. So, SmackDown results from yesterday. As I said, Lacey Evans beat Xia Li to qualify for Money in the Bank. Ronda Rousey beat Shotzi Blackheart. If you're a fan of Shotzi Blackheart, I got an awesome giveaway coming this week for a watch party. I got a couple of autographed photos directly from WWE of Shotzi Blackheart, and they are fucking awesome. I promise you. If you like horror films, especially Jason, wait till you see the photos that I got. Not only does it have a horror film theme to it, but if you're a fan of Shotzi Blackheart and the way she looks, these are extremely sexy photos. I will reveal them on Monday. So, as we said, Gunther became the IC champion. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, they fought to be in Money in the Bank, and it ended in a no contest, using chairs. After the match, Drew still wants in the match. Sheamus still wants in the match. Either they get a rematch next week, or they're both going to be putting Money in the Bank. One thing you could say, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, they love working with each other. They love working with each other. And I know, wasn't there not too long ago that, you know, that was it between the two of them? Well, WWE can't resist. Look in the house shows. I heard New Day is fighting Usos again on house shows. They can't resist. But one of the two is going to happen with those guys. Remember, Money in the Bank is only 3 weeks away. So they got to get these teams going. In fact, expect a tag team next week on the women's side to face another tag team. And you'll probably get both members of the tag team in Money in the Bank, which adds a new dynamic because the two members on the tag team, they'll win the match, they'll both qualify, but then they'll get pissed off at each other like, no, I'm winning. No. I win. Well, may the best woman win. So you see that next week. They haven't announced that, but expect that. And then we had what we knew was coming, and it's happening next week. Riddle took on Sami Zayn. The stipulation was if Sami Zayn loses, he can no longer compete on SmackDown, which would be stupid because you got drafts. Thank you, DJ White Sox. Much love, my friend. I got to remember to keep the alerts up. Yeah, you see, look, it works now. See, I fixed the back, too. So not only do you get a dab, but somewhere you'll see a pop-up soon. Much love. And I didn't forget about everybody earlier. I will get into yours in a few minutes, too. But you look at Riddle. You know, you got drafts. You got fantasy matches. You're not going to take Riddle and put him in a situation in storyline where he can no longer compete on SmackDown. So yesterday, you knew what was going to go down. If Riddle loses, he cannot compete on SmackDown anymore. If he wins, he gets a title match against Roman Reigns. So what ends up happening, Riddle does defeat Sami Zayn. Now, remember what we said a couple of weeks ago. Sami Zayn will get his ass kicked from the Bloodline. Sami Zayn trying to make him an honorary member himself, and they're going to make him feel like, hey, you know, you did your best and everything, and they're going to beat the fuck out of him. I don't know if Sami Zayn turns babyface down the line. We'll talk a little bit more about Sami Zayn on Monday on the future of his character. It's pretty cool. But Sami Zayn loses to Riddle, so next week Riddle gets the title match. Now, the good thing about this is that Randy Orton's return is going to be coming up soon. And it looks like Randy Orton may not be turning against Riddle upon his return. There is some rumors about Randy Orton taking on Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. If that happens, obviously Randy Orton, you know, he maybe comes to the defense of Riddle, and that'll set up the match with SummerSlam. But if that takes place, that means Randy Orton will not be turning anytime soon. And look, with Cody Rhodes being out with an injury, and we could segue into something else. You know, with Cody Rhodes out with this injury until Royal Rumble, you know, baby faces all have to get boosted a notch or two on the food chain. So who becomes the poster child, the huge baby face that's on TV? Bobby Lashley? Riddle? I don't know. I mean, they are big time over with the fans. But do they replace a Cody? Nobody could replace a Cody. But what names can you just give the aura? You put the banners, when you show the highlights. Check out Raw on Monday. You have names there. Now, obviously, Cody working a lot of house shows, someone else is going to have to step up. We don't know who that person's going to be yet for the house shows. After Raw goes off the air, after SmackDown goes off the air, somebody has to replace Cody in some capacity. Could be Kevin Owens, CJ Rocks, could be anybody. Could be AJ Styles, sure. I want to get to Edge. Now, we need to dispel some really stupid shit, man. Really stupid stuff. As I put in the synopsis, we got to dispel a dumb report, a stupid report, and an absolute moronic report. And we'll use simple English for all three. Edge is a Hall of Famer. Edge has tremendous creative input on what he does. WWE values Edge. Edge wants to work with certain people. AJ Styles, one. Finn Balor, two. Remember, Edge showed up in NXT a while back, wanted to do something with Balor. Edge has a bucket list of people that he wants to fight to help elevate the stars of tomorrow. That's a fact. Does anybody in their right mind think Edge, 30-year career, Hall of Famer, beloved in front of the camera and behind, a lot of creative power, you really think that Bruce Pritchard or Vince McMahon, ain't nobody else, you think one of them said to Edge, We want to do a supernatural storyline. We want you to shit Thunderbolts. We want you to do something stupid, whatever it is. You think Ed said, nah, it's stupid. I'm not going to do that. Okay, no problem. You're out of Judgment Day. You think that really went down? That makes sense at all. All I read for the last week is Edge is removed from Judgment Day because he balked against a supernatural storyline. Yeah, what is he going to do? Point instead of pyros? We were going to get earthquakes? Does anybody in their right mind actually think that happened? It is bullshit, everybody. Cody Rhodes goes down with an injury for the next 6 to 9 months. It's really 6, 7, but goes down with a major injury. There is a giant gap, hole. They look at the current roster. I'm not saying Edge replaces Cody because Edge wrestles part-time. You really believe 30-year Hall of Famer, he had so much power in the Judgment Day. He's the one that handpicked who you see. He has all this power leading up to now, and someone comes up with a brainstorm. Yeah, let's do supernatural. Who's he going to do? He's going to snap his fingers and brood chocolate jello, whatever it is, because they can't use blood anymore. He's going to fall from the ceiling. What supernaturals? Tell me. Is this going to be an Ultimate Warrior Papa Shango thing? What the fuck was going to happen? Anybody actually think that? And Edge says, no, no. Okay, you're out of Judgment Day. Yeah, no problem. No problem. No problem. It's bullshit, everybody. It's bullshit. Somebody creates the bullshit news. Then they go online and use that to rip WWE. Stupid, 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 stupid. And then once people start to realize that this wasn't true at all, then it gets manipulated a little bit. And eventually you realize, oh, they didn't remove Edge because of that. But this gets people to tune in and get attention. You just take a step back and look at Edge's position and where he's at in that company and how well-respected and beloved he is and the power he has with that, and you think that him balking against some supernatural thing, what was he going to do? Flip off his sandals and we're going to see bats flow across the ring instead of Riddle's cartoon characters? Asinine, if anybody to believe that. Let's go one step further. Stephanie McMahon. Even worse, what's going around. First of all, now people are saying, oh, WWE forced Stephanie out. They weren't happy with her work. Now, oh, the MLW lawsuit might have been what forced Stephanie out. Because Stephanie told Fox, if you allow MLW on Tubi TV, Tubi, you let MLW on Tubi TV, we may pull WWE. Yeah, okay. $1 billion agreement. Stephanie's going to die. Stephanie don't have that fucking power. It's a publicly traded company. Take note that no investors that invest tens of millions of dollars in WWE, take note that no one in the stock market, take note that no one in the financial world is making any reports that Stephanie McMahon was forced out of WWE. Take note that nobody in the business world, nobody in the financial world, no stockholders, no investors are reporting that Stephanie McMahon may have threatened Fox in a $1 billion deal that they would somehow renege on that if MLW is on Tubi. Nobody in that world reports it. But jerkmeoffwrestling.com reports it and everybody believes it. Does anybody out there truly believe? Stephanie wrote and told WWE officials, told all the investors, I need to go home. I need to be with my family. I need to take care of my kids. They're growing up. My husband is in poor health. I have to take a step aside physically, mentally. I need to be a mom and be with my family. I have to step aside for now. Nick Khan, no problem. I got it. You think she lied to everybody, all the executives, all the officials? If she was forced out, you don't think the stock would have had it? Stop believing wrestling websites over real business. I said it when they were in Saudi Arabia. You had all of these wrestling news sites saying that they're being held against their will. They're being forced on the ground with something with the Crown Prince, and no major news organization reported it. But SchmuckWrestling.com reported it. Oh, that's a major story. Stop buying into the bullshit. The stuff you read and heard about Stephanie McMahon and Edge is dumb, stupid, moronic, asinine. Anyone in their right mind, think about the stuff with Edge. You really think they just threw the whole thing away because of some supernatural thing? Could they be doing something supernatural? Sure. Sure. They could. They could do something satanic for all we know. It doesn't mean that Edge was against it and was thrown out of the group because of it. It's just, not, you look at all these stories. Again, it's just, they know nobody in WWE is going to call them out on their lies. No one is going to call it. Look at MVP. You heard about the rumor about MVP and Chris Jericho having an incident in April. And people reported that they were all at a hotel or something, and Matt Hardy was with Chris Jericho, and MVP saw Jericho, and Jericho blocked MVP after something he said that was politically related to, I think, January 6th and all that. And they had a little confrontation, and Jericho called MVP a mark or something like that. MVP went on social media this weekend and said that the confrontation was true, but the story behind it that was reported was bullshit. Nobody took what MVP said as truth. All you see everywhere reporting and still talking about it is that Jericho called MVP a mark, even though it's not true. They still ignore the actual truth because they got to give you something to think about and talk about. So, all right, Dan, hi Val. Remember when they also said the WWE was never going to do live events ever again? Sure. What about the brand split? What about the roster split? Did you remember a month ago the roster split is over, it's dead? What did we say on here? No. Just going into summer, going into some big events, they are relaxing the roster split because they need some big names to be on both shows. That's a fact. Andrew Zarian reported that today. What he said is correct. Everyone else, for the last 6 weeks, the roster split is dead. The roster split is officially about, based on, says who? Says who? You know WWE's not going to go public and say that's not true. But everybody buys into it anyway. So, all right. Got a couple other things to get into. Before we do that, shout out to Aphrodite's Crush. Nice seeing you in the watch party yesterday. Don Tony versus Don Tony War Games. Look, I hope that NXT gives me some passes to go to NXT on September 12th. And I hope that they let me go backstage. I could probably do it as a press pass. But I'd like to go back there and meet everyone. It'd be cool to get a little photo op with Don Tony. You know, Don Tony and Don Tony D'Angelo. You know, two paisans. Hey, how you doing? You know, I'm going to bring a suit on my honeymoon just for that day. If WWE says, yeah, come by, I'm going to put on the suit. Because, you know, if I'm going to be standing next to Tony D'Angelo, you know, I got to make sure I dress like the Don. In order to out-don the Don. So forget about it. Forget about it. All right. Shout out to DJ White Sox. Thank you again, my friend, for the generosity. Steve Joseph, Impact Slammiversaries, 20th anniversary show. They could book a venue that could only hold 700 fans. Do I think they should book a bigger venue for their 20-year show? No. No. Unfortunately, you know, you can't buy based on what you read online. The New Japan stuff is a perfect example of it. You know, you saw, like I said, on Dynamite, you have this entire building chanting, holy shit. I guarantee you a lot of them knew who Will Ospreay was, but I guarantee you 98% of them did not know who Aussie Open was. I checked, and I mentioned this Wednesday again, I say things that a lot of people online will not agree publicly with because it goes against their support for AEW. But I invite you, for everybody who gushed big time in the journalistic world, I'm not talking about regular fans, but you look at all these journalists Wednesday that were gushing big time. Oh my God, it's Aussie Open. Look, this is real goosebumps. Just do a Twitter advanced history search on their profile and see if they ever mentioned Aussie Open once. If Aussie Open was a tennis tournament, that's probably the only time you would have seen them mention it on their Twitter. They never mentioned the wrestler's name. Look up the individual wrestlers. Just type in the word Fletcher. Not the Chevy Chase movie, Fletch. Look up Fletcher and see if any of these fucking journalists ever mentioned Fletcher once in the entire social media history. They're so epic, amazing. I have goosebumps. I'm shaking right now. You should shake when you orgasm. Not because Aussie Open is on Dynamite. So, but unfortunately for Impact Wrestling, they got a certain number of fans. Unless you bring back a huge reunion and you advertise them to death, they're not going to draw more. It's just a fact. You're not going to get fans 10, 15 years ago that are going to say, oh my God, it's 20th anniversary. I got to show up. Yeah, if you have Samoa Joe there, maybe you work out something with AEW that Joe could show up. Okay, I could see it, see a possibility. If Bully Ray could return, you get a couple other wrestlers. Maybe you could get Kevin Nash to show up. You get some of the old school like Elix Skipper and Loki and some others. Homicide, Hernandez, Conan. You know, you get some nostalgia names. Nostalgia still sells, everybody. Remember the Legends Night on Raw last year? People were ripping the shit out of it online. I mean, really, remember that night? People were just angry at Legends Night. It was one night. Just one. And they scored, Raw might have scored the highest viewership of the entire year that night. Maybe a week before or after Mania was the exception. You know, nostalgia still sells. But just because it's 20 years... If 20 years of Impact was that important, you would have bigger fan attendances. Unfortunately, you don't see it. You don't see it. And it's a shame. It's a shame. Because Impact Wrestling is doing really good right now. I really can't complain. By the way, shout out to everybody who's tuning in, especially those live right now. Much love. Much love. I thank you, as always. Ronnie, good luck with the yoga. Yeah, tomorrow I start DDP yoga. I don't want to get into details, but I got to tell you a story really quick. And it's that serious. Maybe it doesn't apply to any of you right now, but maybe one day it does. And maybe one day, years down the line, you're like, holy shit, I remember DT bringing this up. Check this out. This is a big deal. You know, for 5 years, I've been talking about some horrible rib pain that I've been having. To the point now where I thought I had a hernia, that I turn a certain way and something pops out. I feel like a golf ball or something protruding. I've had CAT scans and MRIs done for the last 5 years. Nobody could find anything. I started going crazy, obsessed online, trying to read and find out what the problem was. And the only thing I could come up with is that I might have an internal hernia that's undetected and they have to actually go in and operate and find it. That was my last hope, to the point where I told my fiance, if this gets worse, I'm not getting married. That's how much it's interfering. A lot of you sometimes when you see me doing shows after a while, you might see me going like this, or you might see me stretching like this, or if we do a watch party, you'll see me like this. That's because when I sit up after a certain period of time, my ribs really start to hurt. I went to a specialist a week ago. The specialist found the problem. Get a load of this. Get a load of this. And took a lot of tests to find this. I had my car accident in 96. I have a spinal stimulator inside me, attached to my spine. If anybody's on my Twitter, I posted an x-ray. You could see what it looks like. I have the same one that Hogan has. And for the last 15 years, I don't work out, and I don't use my back all that much. I sit on my ass, and I have scar tissue, and my back muscles on my right side, they have become so inactive that my muscles have lost all their flexibility. If you squeeze my back right now, if I take my shirt off, she took a picture of the doctor and showed it to me. If you look at the left side of my lower back, everything is loose. You see muscles, you see definition. The right side of my back, it looks like somebody implanted a sheet of concrete. So because there's no flexibility in my back, here's what's been going on. You have a rubber band, okay? Now, you're sitting like this. Your front muscles are attached to your back muscles. So when you turn like this to reach to grab something, your muscles are stretching. So when your muscles are stretching in the front, your back muscles stretch also. That's what it is. When I go like this, there is muscles stretching and contracting. Because my back muscles don't stretch even an inch, when my front muscles try to stretch, they don't. So when I turn, my organs are turning, but my muscles are not stretching with it. And either my liver or something else is popping out under my rib cage. You believe that shit? Surgery is not the answer. I have to start yoga immediately. And the yoga will loosen up my back muscles. And when it loosens up the back muscles and breaks up the scar tissue, and I get that flexibility back, this all goes away. You believe that shit? I thought I had to go under the knife, get some major surgery. And she's like, no, yoga will fix it. That's how crazy this shit is. If you ever have a problem like that, you start and they can't detect the hernia, do not be surprised if it's something simple as just doing your muscles just lose their flexibility. It's crazy. It's crazy. So that's why you ever see, you hear when someone dies and they get rigor mortis, everything just stiffens up. I'm not saying it's rigor mortis, but if someone is bedridden and does not move around or walk around, their muscles just lock and they can't bend. They can't do nothing anymore. And that's pretty much what's been building with my back for 15 years. So I start yoga tomorrow. Thank you, Ronnie, for that. So that's the story behind the yoga comment. So, all right. Best wishes to someone who is dear to me. A lot of you know the unpredictable Johnny Rods, trained a lot of wrestlers over the years, including Homicide and others. Johnny Rods, WWE Hall of Famer. He had major heart surgery last week. Thank you to Soulfly for letting me know originally. And yes, I reached out to him, send him well wishes. I don't know if he's still in the hospital, but you know, I just wanted to send thoughts. Remember, Johnny Rods, that infamous night in VPW. Yes, that's me video bombing Johnny Rods. Yes, I'll show it. Because I love Johnny Rods. I don't need Johnny Rods to get heart surgery to bring up. You all know how many times I've talked about Johnny Rods over the years. But if you need a little refresher, this is just a 2.5 minute clip. This is from about, 15 years ago? This was an indie wrestling event. Unfortunately, Joe So Delicious is no longer with us. But you'll see a little Johnny Rods and you'll see me video bomb it at the very end. And this little video clip is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. 20% off your order. You could get something for yourself, for your father, your boss. Got Father's Day coming up, manscaped.com. I am a regular customer. I love their stuff, and I know some of you have purchased their products. I'm happy as well. Go there, enter the promo code DONTONY, 20% off, free shipping. So check it out. And check out a little flashback. 15 years ago, Johnny Rods, Joe So Delicious, yours truly. Gangsta!
Don't you come next to me. Oh, don't you come back to near me again. I told you, next time I see you, you know what?
You know what, Rod?
Next time I get him, I'm going to put my boots on and go in the ring with him and teach him a lesson that he's never going to forget.
Well, you may put your boots on. This Jerry Fitzwater about to put a new pair of pants on because that was intense. This is the living legend, Johnny Rods, and I have a feeling we haven't seen the end of this. Back to you. Don Tony, hey, what, is that Grim Reaper? Right now, is that him? Tell him I said hello. Tell him I said I like his hat. Tell him I said that.
Says he likes your hat.
It's a great hat. I love it.
He said the pink hat.
Oh, no, no. Anyways.
The pink hat. By the way, notice a little different about yours truly. I shaved the snatch off. So I started growing this. And I was like, my fiance, like, why are you growing that? I said, you know, until I get me some snatch, I'm going to grow something that looks like some snatch. No, I'm only kidding. I tried growing it, and I'm like, I don't like the way it looks. A couple of too many gray hairs, so I shaved it off. Love it, man. I miss those days. I absolutely miss those days. By the way, next week on SmackDown, we were supposed to get it last night. They postponed it for a week. Max Dupree, next week, will reveal his brand new client. It's not going to be Mace. You don't do all the indie, well, the dark match stuff and introduce Mace just to introduce Mace. Don't know who it's going to be. I brought up a few times. I think Pretty Deadly would be pretty interesting. Who knows? Who knows? I thought about it. Maybe you bring this guy. There's a lot of rumors of Cesaro returning. Cesaro, I heard, I don't know how much of this is true. I mean, look, I always tell you, you know, don't take what I hear and are told 100% fact, but most of the time we're right. I heard Cesaro sent a lot of feelers out there, and unfortunately, the wrestling world is not as deep as people think it is. And if you really look at it, if it's not Japan, and it's not WWE, and it's not AEW, I mean, you can make a little bit of money on the indie circuit, no question. Unfortunately, I don't think Cesaro is looking to open an OnlyFans, but there's a lot of reports that after all of this, Cesaro may be returning back to WWE. Just take it as rumors right now. Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. Giovanni Vinci Some people still don't know what that name is. But, yeah, it does feel like Giovanni Vinci might seem a lot like Cesaro. You know, you see the cars, you hear the European woman, you know, talking about Giovanni Vinci. I don't like the deep voice. It scares me. Yeah, it seems like it's similar. Speaking of Giovanni Vinci, NXT already taped this coming Tuesday and next Tuesday. They already have both tapings in the bag. The reason why they taped both events is because they are on tour right now. For those that don't know why they tape 2 weeks in advance, WWE has NXT doing house shows throughout the end of July. They do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So that's pretty much what they're doing. So you're going to have NXT in Florida this weekend doing house shows. Then they'll have the taping next week. The week after, they're going to do some more tapings. So that's the reason why they're doing it this way. They're also giving some wrestlers a little bit of a break as well. But this is exactly what's needed. You need some of those greener wrestlers to get matches in front of fans outside of what you see Tuesday nights. That is very, very important. You need some house shows for NXT, and they're finally doing it. The weird thing about it is they taped the 2 weeks worth of NXT. Giovanni Vinci did wrestle, and Giovanni Vinci is Fabian Aichner. We've been talking about this for 3 weeks. I don't know why it was only news 3 days ago, but we've been talking about it for 3 weeks. But something really weird. Joe Gacy's team, the Dyad, also appeared. And WWE trademarked the names Schism, and Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka. Okay, whatever. S-O-L and then R-U-C-A. That's their rumored names. What I don't understand is they wrestled past Wednesday for NXT. Why didn't one fan in attendance snap a picture? Don't give me, NXT told the fans in attendance, if you post the picture, you won't be allowed back in. If they wanted to show it, believe me, I don't think every wrestling fan who is in attendance, I don't think WWE knows their Twitter handle. And even if somebody did leak it, they're not going to look at the profile, save the picture, and if you see this person, he's not allowed in. I don't understand why no one took a picture and posted it. Trust me, SoFly, I checked everywhere. I wanted to see if it's the Grizzled Young Veterans, and I don't think it is, unless did these motherfuckers wrestle with the hoods on? It can't be. Not only the temperature, that must be. Do you imagine how bad their breath must smell underneath that? When I used to wear Deli Man, that was one of the reasons why I hated wearing Deli Man. Because after about 10 minutes, just imagine rotten ham just hanging out underneath the sun. Just take a bunch of ham and put it underneath. It's got to be rotten, expired ham. Put it under 100 degree heat and then take a nice whiff of it. My breath smelled worse than a horse's ass. Those guys are going to wrestle under those outfits. I can't believe it. So now I'm wondering, do they have masks on? I hope not. That's going to look stupid. But nobody online posted a picture, which baffles the shit out of me. I will keep looking, but as of right now, there is nothing online. Another match we're getting next week. Why? A last laugh match. What are you going to do? Fucking crack jokes? Hickory dickory dock? I'm going to shove you up the ass with my sock? The clock struck two? I punched you, and I hate New Kids on the Block. The fuck is a last laugh match? I punch you and I laugh? Boom. This is awful, man. We had Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell should have been the pinnacle. He's taken out of the stretcher. That's it. Last laugh match. No wonder why people are having a hard time getting behind Madcap Moss. No more laughing. Remember last week? No more laughing. You're going to see a serious Madcap Moss. The week before Hell in a Cell, no more laughing. Last laugh match. WWE, that's so fucking stupid. Seriously, this better be something like Rodney Dangerfield. I got no respect, I tell you. Oh, my God. I can't even, please, no. Maybe somebody shows up and just beats the fuck out of both of them. Seriously. Oh, my God. Yeah, everybody in the chat room is really looking forward to a last laugh match. Seriously, what do you do? Do you tickle your opponent? Last laugh match? You know what? This might end up being something like, you know, you got to get your opponent to laugh. If I didn't get booted off of YouTube, I'd moon the crowd, right? I'd moon you all right now. I'd pull my pants down to try to get you to laugh. Is that what it is? Do you like, is he going to take Corbin's shoes off and start tickling him? I mean, is he going to tickle his feet? Is that it? Whoever laughs loses? I would not be surprised if that's what it is. Are we going to get feathers? Are we going to get that might be it. I think we might have just figured it out. The fuck is, I got to put it in a synopsis. The fuck is a last laugh match? WWE gets the last laugh. Rampage yesterday, we had Eddie Kingston over Jake Hager, Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh over Davey Vega and Matt Fichette. Lexi Nair did a little interview with Hook and Danhausen. Danhausen drives down with like a golf cart and Hook, it looks like a Hummer golf cart. He didn't say nothing. I like Danhausen, but, you know, I don't know. It just feels like there should be more. And, you know, Danhausen has got one of the easiest, like, voices to manipulate. Like, if you just think China, when we used to imitate China, God rest her soul, if you just, now, if I heard his voice and then impersonated, it would sound perfect. But really, all you got to do is just pitch up your voice.
Ang, I go. I'm, after the show is over, I'm going to go take a shit. And after I take a shit, I'm not going to wash my hands because I'm raw like that. And after that, I want you all to go to manscaped.com.
See, I can't do it right now. Now I sound like a doofy cartoon character. But if I listen to Danhausen, it's not hard. I guarantee he probably watched Gollop, whatever that thing is.
My press. Oh, I think I found my gimmick. I'm going to do it.
Legado del Fantasma and Tony D'Angelo and the family. The storyline is happening exactly how we talked about last week. Unfortunately, WWE is on the fast track. This ain't going to last more than a couple of weeks. I think, hey, guys, I think we made a big mistake bringing the fucking Mexicans into our group. These fucking Latinos, man, they don't fucking know how to do a damn thing. You see, you will see this develop further within a couple of weeks. That's it. You're fired. We don't want you. Legado and the D'Angelo family will be splitting soon. So, I don't know what that means. I am Gen Z. I hope that's a compliment. I hope that's competent. By the way, props to everyone who understood what I said Wednesday, because, you know, I wasn't joking when I said this and people figured it out. There's a lot of people laughing online about the AEW All-Atlantic Championship because of this tournament and because they have the New Japan logo, you know, which is not actually, you know, representing. You know, that's not a country, that's a promotion. But if you remember what I said on Wednesday, that you could have wrestlers in New Japan that are American. Doesn't mean that the wrestler representing New Japan is Japanese.
Japanese.
No, it could be Will Ospreay. It could be anybody. So the fact that they have the New Japan logo there means it's two wrestlers from New Japan. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're Japanese. Could be, but that's why I didn't rip that when I saw it. I mean, sure, it if you look the way it's set up, you know, there should be flags there, but that's why that was written that way. So I really can't criticize AEW for that one.
Could be just Robinson. Could be Juice.
See, I can't. I got to stop. DT, stop. I need to hear the voice in order for me to do the voice. See, that's, you know, some, you know, like Kermit the Frog. Hey, Kermit the Frog here. See, I could do stuff like that, but, you know, others, I have to hear the voice first. So, all right, we're almost done. Because don't forget, tomorrow we got to sit down with yours truly. Live calls, live chat, Q&A, the entire show. I'm looking at my notes. I'm looking to see. Oh, let me give you the rest of the results from Rampage. Eddie Kingston over Jake Hager. Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh, managed by Sonjay Dutt over Davey Vega and Mark Fichette. You know, Satnam Singh, few of you wanted to know my thoughts. I thought he was okay. You know, the flying press that he did was very, very low. I mean, I get it because of how tall he is, but my God, you would have thought Hornswoggle did that. He got, his lift was about 6 inches off the ground. But he's very, very big man and very heavy. You know, you're not going to expect him. And by the way, that's probably good because if he would have jumped too high, being a former basketball player, if he jumped too high, he might have jumped over them. I'm not kidding, because they were going down as he connected. He could have just literally dove right over them. Chris Statland over Red Velvet, as we said earlier, and FTR and Trent Beretta over Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. Straight up, I prefer WWE over AEW, more because I like storylines, deep storylines. I like emotional attachments. The Seth Cody has been a fabulous storyline besides the outstanding matches. You know, the Roman Reigns stuff, Riddle, Orton, some of the other storylines. AEW has better wrestling more times than not, but I got to be honest with you. I'm really starting to like Rampage because even though the matches may not be high profile at times, they do a really good job in an hour. Yes, it's pre-recorded, so yes, they have time to edit and put stuff together, but you really do get a lot in an hour. My only issue, like I keep saying, I wish they would move Rampage to 7 o'clock Friday nights. Sorry, West Coast people, but I truthfully believe you'll get more wrestling fans to tune in at 7 than at 10 because SmackDown does get 1.9 million. It's a big audience. So you have 1.9 million wanting to watch SmackDown, 2 million fans. Before SmackDown airs, you might get a good chunk of them. Hey, let me go check out AEW main event. Hey, I heard so-and-so is wrestling tonight. Let me go watch it. I'll tune into AEW 15 minutes before SmackDown, and then I'll put in SmackDown. I think you'll get more fans that might casually watch even the latter part of Rampage leading into SmackDown then after SmackDown is over, because you're now watch 2 hours of wrestling and you already know the spoilers for Rampage. So you might be like, I'll watch it another time. It's 10 o'clock. I don't feel like it. I really think if they move it to 7, they'll do better numbers. We'll see. But with that said, I think we are going to call it for tonight. Once again, if you haven't checked it out already, Pro Wrestling TV, I am now on that network. And let me tell you something. I absolutely love the fact that, you know, I can be on that network. Why is that the same? Oh, I know why it's the same page. Yeah, there we go. If you look, I am right alongside the Inspiration and Zack Ryder. Oh, my favorites over the years. Sean Spears, Control the Narrative. You know, I feel like out of place, to be honest with you. You know, Blue Wire is for my audio-only shows. Pro Wrestling TV is for my video shows. In the future, We will be debuting a show that is exclusive to Pro Wrestling TV. And who knows? You might actually see me get involved in some other projects. I'm not making any teases or guarantees, but it's definitely something that has been discussed in passing. So we'll see. There's only so many hours in a day. But it launched on Wednesday. I broke my cherry on Wednesday. It was very cool to have people tell me yesterday, DT, I'm watching regular TV and you're on it. And I'm like, no way. And like, yeah, you're live, 1 o'clock. That's why if you notice tonight, as far as wrestling results, we spent like 5 minutes talking results. But instead of talking about the results, you talk about the storylines and ramification, what transpires next. Because, look, like I said, a month from now, nobody gives a shit that Lacey Evans beat Xia Li. Nobody cares that Madcap Moss beat or loses to Corbin in the last laugh match. So we don't want to focus on individual matches, but what transpires afterwards and other aspects of it. So this way, the discussions don't age as quickly. That's really what it's all about. You think anybody really wants to tune in to hear me talk about Dynamite for an hour? You'd rather me talk about what's going to happen with Punk, what's going to happen with the title, what's going to happen with other wrestlers, the New Japan influence or lack thereof. It is free. They do, I think they have a paid subscription version too, but no, it's free. So go check it out. Show some support. But I will be back here tomorrow, 8:05 p.m. for the sit down. Again, live chat, live Q&A, the entire show. Calls will definitely open the phone lines tomorrow. So get your questions ready. Whatever you want me to discuss, it can be wrestling, non-wrestling, I don't care. I'm going to watch NWA Always Ready tonight. So I'm going to check it out and see what, I expect it to be good. I want to see what happens with Matt Cardona, because after this match, he's got to go in for surgery on his bicep. He's got to be out 4 to 5 months, I would think. So, you know, I would think he's going to lose to Nick Aldis, but who knows? You know, never discount the possibility that he beats Nick Aldis and talks about how he's going to, you know, take the title with him to the hospital, and then maybe somebody calls him out, challenges him, has an impromptu match and beats him. I mean, that's something we've seen in the past from ECW to other federations. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I expect Cardona to drop that championship. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. So if you enjoyed tonight's episode, smash that like button. If you have any comments that you want to share with me or with others out there, post it below. Any questions that you may have, post them below in the comment section. I'll be more than happy to answer it. Tomorrow I'm going to spend a few hours answering questions. So I thank you, as always, for the support. Much love. Have a great night. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. And I hope to see you tomorrow night, 8:05. If not, check me out here Monday night, 11:05 p.m., right after Raw. So be well, everybody. Stay safe.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.